Is that more better?
That more better.
There you go. All right. I am your teacher here tonight because Ben is in Mississippi because his grandmother is not doing well and his sister-in-law is not doing well at all. So he has a lot going on down there. So we need to pray for him and his family while they're going through these struggles. It sure seems like I'm echoing. Do I sound like I'm echoing to you? Yeah, I'm echoing here. Millard, you fixing me? Good deal. I'll keep talking, just rambling around here before we get started. That way you can get me set right. For those who are not normally in the class next door, we are in, and this is the thing. I don't normally like to do this because it's hard to catch up when you're in Romans and you're doing a book study like this. And normally I like to have a different lesson when I have to be over here. When I'm over here instead of with when we combine classes instead of just over there, because like I said, it's hard to, not really fair for y'all guys here either to pick up on where we got to and what we had been studying. So having said all that, I sound better now, don't I? All right. So that was some good rambling I went through there. All right. Before we get started here in class tonight, if I could get somebody here to lead us in a prayer. Mr. James, would you do that, please? Open in prayer for us.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we continue to call you, Father. To come at this time, in the midweek Bible study, that we can look into you and through the pages of your word and learn more about our walk with you and to encourage others as we go along this way. And then, Father, we will show tonight as he brings us a message from your word. Be with Ben and his grandmother and all of that family. We pray for them. Be with those of our number who are bound down in sickness or sorrow and to comfort them. Heavenly Father, be with each of us as we continue this study tonight, and forgive us when we fail thee, for this is our prayer in Jesus' holy name, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, James. Okay, we're in Romans chapter 11, and verse, Millard's probably, not yet, there it is, verse 25, I think is where we start at, in verse 25, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. And we will discuss this section of scriptures. And then we'll go, if we get through with this, we'll go into chapter 12. Okay. Before we get started, I will, I'll not do a Ben impersonation here, but just in case if I have, somebody just kind of do like this right here a little bit, because I went to the dentist today and the woman shot me full of that stuff. And she's like, after she shot me and she just kept squirting that goop in there. And when she got done, she said, well, how you feel? I said, well, how am I supposed to feel? I feel all right for a guy that has a needle stuck in his face. So... Yeah, I mean, my whole side of my face is drawn down. when I was going home, I kept wiping my side of my face. I thought I was drooling on myself. So I don't know if that's the case. And so y'all just kind of just make a little. All right, so we'll start in verse 25 and we will go from there. So, Joey, if you don't mind, from 25 down to the end of the chapter, please.
I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, and he will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them. Take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you, who were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience. But they too have not become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Joy. Okay. At the start of 25, it says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the mystery, of this mystery, brothers. And having studied the week before, we talked about how the Gentiles were grafted into, and it's talking about like the olive shoot and how branches can be cut off and the other ones could be grafted on, and they would be just as they were the same as the tree originally. And what he was talking about was the Jews and the Gentiles. We talked about that last week, how because the Jews rejected the Messiah, then that opened the door for the Gentiles to be able to have that hope for salvation. Because, and there again, Paul says in earlier in the chapter, I think it's in verse 13, he talks about that I am the apostle to the Gentiles. So, and I guess we'll go on, continue on with this, but what is the significance of this, what Paul is telling them? He's an apostle to the Gentiles, and now the Gentiles have that hope for eternal salvation. They have that chance that, you know, the gospel was brought to them. Why is that important? This one ought to be real easy.
It gives us the opportunity.
Do what, Dave?
It gives us the opportunity.
Yeah, but why, Dave? That's exactly right. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. That gives us hope. Without that, until that time came, Dave's exactly right. We're not a Jew, so we didn't have that opportunity. And now we're all Gentiles, and because of that, we have that opportunity to have that hope of salvation and that promise that Jesus gave. Now, when he says, and this is... this is one I probably need some help with. It says, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. So all Israel will be saved as it is written. And it says, deliverer will come to Zion, and That deliverer, who is that deliverer? That came from Zion. He is Jesus. He's the deliverer that came from Zion. Now, they talk about the hardening. It says Israel has experienced a hardening. Well, when we studied earlier in Romans about how God hardened Pharaoh's heart so his glory could be exalted, so his glory could shine, so people would see exactly what, you know, what the almighty and powerful God would do, could do. And he did that with Pharaoh. Well, when we talked about this next door, we talked about it as if that Pharaoh, his tendency was to be prideful. His tendency was to have that. Pharaoh thought he was a god. So with that, God used those tendencies and kind of led Pharaoh that direction, but Pharaoh made that choice on his own. Because every time all these, you know, these things were happening, he'd call Moses and he'd be ready to let the people go. And then when it stopped, he would be like, well, no, I'm okay now. We got this to stop. And you know, and he used those tendencies. And I don't know if y'all guys agree with that, but that's kind of what I looked at it, because God used that. He knew in his sovereignty, he knew the way Pharaoh was, and he just used that, I guess, to his benefit. Now, in this, where it says Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. Well, did God harden Israel's heart where they had no choice? Or were there, again, was it Israel that made that choice to not acknowledge or accept Jesus as the Messiah? And that is not a rhetorical question, because I thought I had the other part figured out. And then when I read this, I don't know if that's the case or not. Did God actually, it says, and Israel experienced a hardening? Because it talks about in verse 7, where it says, in the same chapter, it says, what Israel sought so earnestly did not obtain, but the elect did, and the others were hardened as it was written. And it talks about, you know, that time of, it talks about that God gave them a spirit of stupor in their eyes where they couldn't see. So, and then he comes back again and makes reference to that. So my question, did God cause Israel to have a hardening to where of their heart where they wouldn't accept Jesus? Because that was part of his sovereignty. That was part of his plan. And does this have significance in our salvation? No, it doesn't. But it's just one of those things that I don't like to try to, not really teach, but facilitate, or whatever you want to call it, this stuff when I really don't understand what it's trying to say. And I don't want to just brush over it because I don't understand what it's trying to say. So does anybody have anything on that? Well, I don't know that it says, you know, that where it says, you know, if it says he allowed it, it just says they experienced it.
No, but I'm just saying, because there's someone else in the Bible that it says God hardened
their hearts. Yeah. So we all, you know, it's like we say. Yeah. I don't know. And it may be part of God's overall, because it's like Nebuchadnezzar in the time of Daniel. He allowed Daniel to, or he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to kind of have his heart hardened, and because he was so prideful, then he showed him who was the Almighty God. So I don't know. I see the purpose of him doing this, because then the other thing is where it says the full number of Gentiles, until the full number of Gentiles have come in. Well, I tried to find something on that, and I couldn't find anything what they're talking about, what Paul was talking about, because sometimes, I'm telling you, Romans is a hard book. And when he talks about the full number of Gentiles, is that a particular number, or does that mean all the Gentiles that want the opportunity to come in has that opportunity? Right. Yeah. Yes, it does. The blood of Christ, it does that. It will reach back for those who had their sins rolled forward and did all the things that they were supposed to have done in that. Jerry, that might be a better word. I don't normally look in the King James because it's harder for me to understand, but yeah, that might be a better word in that deal. But it's not necessarily their hearts were hardened. They experienced the hardening, but they experienced a blindness because they wouldn't see. Yeah. Do what, Brad? Yes.
So, I mean, if the gospel's been for them this whole time, now it's for Gentiles, I'm going to be stubborn. So I'm going to be like, it's not for them. And then I'll eventually get over it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you're right. I think that's part of it also. I think that is part of it. All right, that makes more sense. That makes more sense when you talk about the blinding of it, and they choose not to do it, and like Brad said, they're just being stubborn. All right, and he talks about this in verse 26 and 27 about that the covenant and be taken away the sins. That's Jesus and what he did, and then it says it goes on down. It talks about the election is concerned of those. It says they are loved on account of the patriarchs for God's gifts, and his call was irrevocable. All right. What he's saying is not that he loves the Jews any less, and it's not that he's keeping them from salvation, but in what we have just talked about there. But what he's saying is he still loves the Jews, and he still loves his people. If nothing else, on account of the patriarchs that came, you know, their forefathers. that came from way back, the Abrahams and the Isaacs and the Jacobs and the within the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a lot of times we leave out probably one of the most important ones, and that's Joseph, the things that he did. But anyway, that's what God is saying, that, you know, he still has love for them. If no other reason, is because of that. And then when he talks, and that's the other thing. And down from verse 30, I think it is, from verse 30 down through verse 32, where it talks about being disobedient, God gives us mercy as a result of their disobedience. And now he says, basically what he's saying is, he doesn't give, and he said, I give you mercy because of your disobedience, but here's the thing. Everybody's disobedient. Every single person that's ever lived is disobedient. And as that's what he was saying. You know, he sends mercy because he is, gives us mercy because of our disobedience. Well, that's the way everybody is. Because in verse 32 it says, for God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on all of them. In other words, all men are going to be disobedient. So therefore, God sent his son to have mercy on. Now, because the Gentiles are now included, all men have the ability to receive God's mercy. All right, anybody on those two verses before we go to the last part of this chapter? In the last part of this chapter, does anybody recognize the first verse of this? The depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. You know what that is?
What's the song we're singing?
There you go, Mr. George. I was hoping somebody would pick up on that. Now, let me ask y'all this. Of all the times we've sang that, oh, the riches and depth of his wonderful. Okay. How many of you ever knew it came from this verse? I didn't until I read it and I studied it. So, but what he's saying from this verse 33, from verse 33 through verse 36, he talks about what he does is he praises God and he brings up verses from Job, and he brings up verses and scriptures, his reading from Isaiah and other Old Testament. So that tells you a couple of things about Paul. Number one, he knows the scriptures. He knows he was a well-versed and well-learned person in the scriptures. So he knew a lot of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Old whatever they wanted to call it then. But he knew, and he could quote these things. But also, if you read this, and then you look over into Psalms, there are several places in Psalms that it sounds a whole lot like what Paul is talking here. He praises God for giving everyone that ability. He praises him for just his knowledge and, of course, his wisdom and all the things that God does for us. And then the last part of it, it says, for from him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be glory forever. So Paul does that same thing again as David does. There are some psalms that David, you can read them, and all he does is praise God the whole time. The whole psalm is about praise to God and his power and his glory and the things that God has done for us. So that ends chapter 11, unless somebody else has something to say on that. Now, we'll start into chapter 12. Again, Joey, if you will read, just read verses 1 and 2 to start with. Okay. Thank you, Joes. Now, y'all guys remember, I hope you do, a couple of my month or so ago, I spoke on this there at the beginning of the year. I spoke about this and how we are to renew our lives and renew our minds daily and how we go about doing that. But I want to touch on something a little bit different on these verses right here. It says, I urge you therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy. And some verses, some versions say God's mercies. Like more than one, his mercies. Have you ever thought about what he's talking about there? What mercies is Paul talking about? He's talking about the freedom from death. In chapter 5. And all these references that I'm giving you are references that go back in, not way back into all these, into the old law or anything such as that. All of these are what Paul has talked about. All these are in Romans, this letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. We have that mercy. One of the mercies he gives us is that freedom from death in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 through verse 21. And freedom from sin. And we read that in chapter 6, in verses 1 through 23. And this is something that I don't know that we even think about that often, but if Jesus hadn't have came, we would still be under the old law, if it would even apply to us, because we are Gentiles. But the people that he's writing to here were Jews that were in Rome, so he tells them that's what they, so he is speaking to his people. That's why he's beat them up for so long in all these other chapters. But now he's telling them, listen, you have these mercies, and one of these mercies is you have the freedom from this unreasonable relationship you had with the old law, that all it did was it couldn't forgive sins. All it could do is kind of just foster the sin. And that's in chapter 7, verses 6 through 25. And the best they could do is roll their sins forward from that point. And the other thing, one of the other mercies that we have is that gift. And this is big. This is really big. That gift of the Spirit. God gives us his gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. The last one I have here is God's faithfulness to keep his promises. Those he made to Israel and those he makes to us. And that's one of the mercies that God gives us, is we know that he is faithful, and he doesn't have to do the things that he did, because we all know what mercy is. And he does these things out of mercy to us. And I'm thankful and grateful that God is faithful to keep his promises and do what he says he's going to do. Now, and then he goes on through the rest of this where it says, where he talks about it says we're to give our bodies a living sacrifice. It's like Paul he said all these things here, all these, you know, the mercies of God, and he gives us those examples, not in this scripture, but if you look back, he gives us those mercies, and it's like he's given us those, and this is what he's saying. God gives you all of these things. All of these things, all these mercies, all of these blessings, all of these things that we don't deserve, and the least that we can do, the least that we can do is to give ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice. We are to live for Him. And that's what He's asking for us. And some of these things, and some of these verses that talks about, and some of these translation, it says, you present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, have you ever thought about that word? Have you ever really thought about the way He says that you present your body a living sacrifice? I have, you might not be able to tell it, but I have prepared this lesson tonight, and I have put effort into it so I can present it to y'all guys. When we present something to somebody, we it's not like, I guess it's not like if somebody asked me for a dollar, I'd take a dollar and out of my pocket and I'd give it to them. Yeah, I'm giving it to them, but it's not like I'm taking this dollar out and going, okay, Aaron, I'm here, here's your dollar. Now you take this dollar and use it wisely. I'm just giving it to Him. But when He says, He tells us to present our bodies, that's like we take that effort. That's something, it's almost like a formal, maybe not like in a formal setting, but it's like we have thought about it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's not like something that we have just haphazardly done. It's something that we have took time and effort and we have put the work in, or I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but it's something we have purposefully, I guess that's the best way to say it. It's something we have purposefully done. And I don't know that I need to say that word twice. I didn't do that real well. But that's what, when He tells us we present our bodies, because that is our act, it says, for this is your spiritual act of worship. And then it goes on down and it tells us don't be conformed to the world, and that we are to be different from the world and to come out from the world. So, and unfortunately, He says this part, and we're to be different and transformed from the world, which is good and pleasing, and some places say in our reasonable service, that we can do His perfect will, which we'll never do that, but we'll be striving to do that. But then in the next verses, and we probably won't get to those, so I won't even start into verse 3. But verse 3 goes along with these because He talks about, you know, how we are to be. And I wish I did have time to do this, where He talks about don't think more highly of yourself, but to do it right, to do it justice, I really don't have time to go through all of that because the first buzzer just rang. I'm in to go. So I hope this made sense to y'all guys tonight, especially the ones that are not normally over next door. And if you want to continue this study of Romans, you can study it or you can come next door next week. Oh, yeah.